listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Got Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
Greetings.
Greetings, Bob.
So, for the folks in Philadelphia, you're getting the second hour of a two-hour show because the first hour aired last week. You can go to the archives at wethepeopleradio.us and click on the link that says Tuesday, because it'll be Tuesday in your land when you hear this, and show will pop up. You'll be able to hear the first half. But this is an amazing story, and it takes 2 hours to tell the whole thing, I'll tell you. First hour, we talked about the Remembrance Project with Maria Espinoza. Great project. She started out of Houston, but they're in 25 states, and bottom line is on their campaign. It's a national campaign to remember victims killed by illegal aliens. And so we kind of got into the broad brush on that topic and then focused down on a specific family, the Shaw family, and Jamil Shaw in particular. And his dad is also Jamil Shaw. So in case it got a little confusing for me. I was like, wait a minute, who's Jamil? Both the dad and the son, and they called their son Jazz, J-A-S, because those are his initials. I learned that little tidbit there. Jamil Andre Shaw II, so he was Jazz to his family and friends. He was killed by an illegal alien on the streets of L.A., like what, Jamil, three houses from you?
Yeah, three houses.
Yeah, it was right on your own
three
street.
Houses. I heard the gunshots. Yeah, I heard the gunshots. I mean, I was like, well, I just talked to him on the phone. He was like, I said, hey, man, where are you? Hey, right around the corner, Dad. Be there in a couple minutes. He was like, be there in a couple minutes, old man, because he knows you got to call me. Be there in a few minutes, old man. And I said, okay, well, hurry up, because we got to go, because we had to go get some track spikes, because he had track meet this Friday coming up. So we had to go get some track spikes, get some food, come home, ready for school. All of a sudden, pow, pow, I'm even going, woo. Like, damn, that was close. I mean, that sounded like it was in here.
And is that normal for your neighborhood?
Yeah. Beg your pardon?
Is that normal for your neighborhood or abnormal?
No, not normal for me. I'm sure, yeah, you're in L.A., so.
I know, we don't know anything about L.A.
You know, but we live near the freeway, so sometimes you hear Harley Davidson's going by or cars. But that was a gunshot. I mean, I've never heard nothing like that, but I knew that was somebody shooting outside. I remember calling his phone and say, man, look out, somebody's shooting. But I already knew. My chest had told me. And I was like, I remember saying, don't tell me this boy just got shot. Oh. I remember picking up his phone to say, man, look out, they're shooting. He didn't answer. Oh. I remember saying, damn, I knew it. Because he would have been running in the house by then.
Sure.
You know, I knew where he was at when he called. When I called him, he was right around the corner. So I knew exactly where he was at. I grew up around here. I knew how long it should take, and I knew he had to be right there where that gun went off at. I remember, like, damn. I remember saying, I hope. I remember asking God. I remember telling God. I remember saying, I know you didn't. I blamed it on God. To be truthful, I said, I know you didn't let this boy get shot. And I said, I hope he's not dead. And I went outside to seek. I already knew. I went outside and looked. Damn. I remember saying, damn. He was laying in the street. I went running down there, like, damn. And the police were already there. The cops said he was in the neighborhood patrolling and heard the. He was way down the street when he heard it. That's how loud the gunshot was. He heard it way down there, and he came down, and on his way there, they got the 911 call that somebody was shooting. And I guess, I don't know how much time went by, because I know I didn't waste no time. I mean, but I guess in real life, you'd be so, that stuff is real, because I can't understand how much time went by from the time I heard the gunshot to the time I got out there. Police was already there grabbing, you know, like looking for vitals. I remember running around the car. I came to the cop. I remember he had his back turned. I remember saying, who the blank did that? And he turned around, scared him because he didn't suspect that, because he was, you know, all of a sudden somebody hollered, who in the F did that? And then he was like, who are you? I said, that's my son. I'm trying to get to him, and he don't want me to get to him. I mean, we're wrestling, like, because I'm trying to help the boy. I'm like, damn. I'm looking, he dead, you know?
Oh.
I'm like, I can't believe it, but the heck is going on? Because it's happening so fast that my brain was really communicating, was asking me, is this real, what the eyes are seeing? And I'm answering, I don't know, is it? It's happening so fast, but I remember getting questions like, is that real? At the same time, everything is moving 100 miles an hour. And, I, you know, people were helping the officer keep me back. And I'm like, even today, it's like, man, just talking about it now, it's just so unbelievable that that happened. You know, to see that boy laying there dead, and we had just seen him a few hours ago, and, you know, now he's gone, and what the hell, you know, what's going on? You know, everything is just in full, oh, man, it's, you can't even describe what's happening because nothing to relate it to. That's why I tell people, you don't want to know. You better get on your knees and be like, woo, thank you, God, because I don't want to know what he know. Because that means somebody in your family was shot dead or died crazy, a crazy death, and now you're going through the rebirth stage. It's vicious. It's vicious because you don't know what's going on, and you're like, and it's like the loved ones you know, you'd be at the airport, and you're walking, they got that long escalator,
You're
walking, people who are not on it, it's going farther and farther back. That's how it is. You're like, wait a minute, you're trying to fix this, and everything is still moving. You're like, before you know it, just gone out of sight. You can't do nothing about it. It's just so depressing. And then, you know, like you say, you know, all the politicians, everybody, the next day, and you know, everybody, everything is just happening, and everybody acting like they really care. You thinking they are, and then as time goes on, you know, they only care that once he's a legal alien. I thought somebody black did it. For the first day, I'm wondering which one of his friends killed him. It had to be one of his friends, you know. Maybe he. I was telling him, man, be careful with the girls because all the girls liked him because he was an athlete. He was a good kid, stay out of trouble, and everybody knew he gonna make it. That boy going. You can't have skills like that. I tell people all the time, him dying is equivalent to Kobe Bryant dying at 17, Michael Jordan, Shaq, because he had the exact same kind of skills, and it was obvious to everybody that he going to make it. It was obvious. Mm-hmm. And to see him laying in the street dead.
Being looked at by Rutgers and Stanford universities?
Yeah, Rutgers. I remember Rutgers had called. He was already dead. Like 3 weeks, and Rutgers was, hey, he didn't come down for the, you know, he supposed to be coming down to have a meeting at the school. I forgot all about it, you know, to try out and all. I had a little mini camp at Rutgers, and I forgot all about it, and the guy called wondering where he was at. I said, oh, man, he's dead. I mean, just like that. He was like, what? I said, yeah, man, somebody killed him. He's dead. And I didn't even know what to say. I couldn't even, you know, Stanford. All the small schools. He still had one more year left. I mean, that 1 year was like, oh, it was just going to be awesome. The whole city was just percolating because they couldn't believe they had somebody with that kind of skills right here in the neighborhood that was pretty much overlooked by all the schools because, you know, that's how we did it. We wasn't really looking for publicity.
Sure.
I just wanted him to get out the neighborhood. Get out of here. I said, man, once you make it, don't come back.
And he almost
get your
did.
Wife and your family and set up shop someplace else.
Well,
don't you know, I'll come visit you, just get out of here, you made it.
And so when did you find out, like, I mean I'm sure you didn't, like, I guess maybe you cared, but I'm sure you weren't into all the details until later. But when did you figure out what had all happened and that it was an illegal alien who had been let out of jail, who was a gang member? Did you find that out all at the same time?
No, they knew because what happened was, I'm the one, you know what's so crazy about it, I'm the one that called the police because when it happened, the first day it happened, so, you know, of course some neighbors, you know, nobody heard nothing, and the next morning everybody was out here and somebody said they saw two Latinos. I'm like, what? My ears jumped up right away, two Latinos. So I'm like, uh-oh, I'm not sure what's going on, but now I know it wasn't black. So But a couple of days later, just say Wednesday, I was standing outside. One of the neighbors came outside and said he was crying. He said he'd been crying. Latino kid. He was like 19. He said, man, I know who killed Jazz. And I was like, who? You know, and, you know, he said, this guy named Pedro Espinoza, 18th Street. I said, well, you know, of course I'm like, what the hell? They say, you the 18th Street? And he's like, no, I don't, you know. I'm like, wait a minute, because nobody knows nothing. He says, yeah, my dad said, somebody came to the door looking for me, you know, named Pedro. And then he came down and he heard the gunshots. And, of course, he knew Pedro. So I said, well, you know, we're going to have to call the police. And, you know, and I called the cops. I could have went. If it would have happened now, oh no, they would have found him in the gutter, and they would have just put him in a pine box and, you know, went about their business. They wouldn't have cared. Somebody that bad, they wouldn't have cared, you know. But I called the police. Police came, took him away. Now this is Wednesday. Now they knew right away because this guy was so violent. They knew everything Wednesday. When I called the police, told them who it was, they knew everything Wednesday.
And this was
okay?
They're not going to
tell me nothing. As time went on, it took until April the 22nd, which was like a month later. And the way it went down was the mayor had came by the house and, you know, came to the house, toured the house. It's like a museum. All this stuff is in there, all on the walls. And so the mayor was like, he wanted to do something. He said he wanted to put a plaque down. So what happened was, when Mayor Villaraigosa became mayor, he wanted to have a tree planting thing. That's one of his things. I'm going to plant a million trees. And so happy he started on my street. So happy he started on my street. And we were out there, and my son was helping the mayor dig a hole for a tree. The tree that the mayor helped plant was where my son was murdered at, on that exact same spot. So that's how the mayor got involved, because he heard about that connection.
Wow.
So he decided we were going to put a plaque down. So as we coming, time is rolling, they couldn't wait to put down the permanent plaque. They had this cardboard replica. And I said, well, let's just wait until it's ready. No, we don't want to wait. And I can understand what's going on, why I didn't want to wait. It was just so much, we got to do it now. We did it, did all the ceremony. Very next day, L.A. Times, front page, legal alien. They knew the whole time. And the mayor, if I told the mayor, we're going to come out with it tomorrow, so you better do whatever you're going to do, because you know, once he, because by now, this is like April 22nd, by now, I already know that it was a Latino person, 18th Street gangbanger. I know everything by now, except for the legal alien part, because the neighborhood know me, and I made sure I knew every single thing was going down. I was telling the district attorney what was going on. Oh, you don't want to listen. I'm telling them. I know everything. People coming to my house. I'm getting information from everybody. What happened? I know who we're looking for. I know he was 18th Street. I know he was on his third gun charge. I mean, people all over the country sending me information. So that's when everybody disappeared. The mayor, I ain't seen the mayor since. He tried to invite me to his State of the Union speech, or I didn't show up, so he knew I was through. I was through with them, because the way they did it was so conniving, knowing that they knew all that. And so now I'm changed. I'm on the warpath now. And that's when, of course, now, okay, well, we just want, you know, they switched on me. They couldn't really go after me, because what are you going to say? I told people, I don't have nothing to say, but what happened? And they couldn't dispute that what happened, so they just started to just ignore him. Maybe he'll go away.
It doesn't sound like that's really working out for him.
So it was an issue until they found out it was an illegal, and then all of a sudden nobody wanted to touch
it. Oh, yeah. They were, oh, man, we support you. And my house, man, was so full. They got so conniving at the funeral. And this is the crazy part. At the funeral, we're out here for the house. I mean, you can imagine everybody's over here. The streets are just packed with people getting in cars, getting ready to go to the funeral. The police show up. While we get in the car, talked to me and the mother, and they told us, yeah, we got him. Man, I already knew about it already. I was just wondering, you know, I didn't say it like that to them. I was just like, oh, okay, because in my mind, everybody on the take, you know what I mean? I don't trust nobody. Why would you guys come over here and wait to the funeral to tell me you got this guy when you knew the whole time, everything, you know what I mean? So the funeral is going on. They tell me this, okay, we got him. I get in the car, I don't say nothing to nobody, really, because I'm like, man, this is crazy how everybody is treating the situation. I could tell nobody's going to have my back in the long run. I could just feel everything slipping away. So when we got to the funeral, the mayor of L.A., Herb West, and the city council, they're on the stage already. Okay, now we're not even in the building yet. We're outside with the casket, and the mayor and Herb West is in there. I don't know what they was talking about. But while we were sitting there, people, I guess it was the text that came through to the church. Everybody's buzzing because they know who did it. The word is out now all through the funeral. They got the guy, right? So everybody coming up to me, showing me cell phones with information to say that we got it. But I already know. Well, I'm at the funeral. I'm like, hey, can we have a funeral up in here? You know what I mean? What's going on in here, right? So what was so crazy was that the mayor came down. Once the mayor got the word, they got to go. You could tell mayor got to go. They done told him what's already knew already that they got the guy. So they whispered in the mayor's ear. He comes down to me and says, yeah, he got to go. But he told the truth. He said, you got to go take care of some things. He didn't say what, but he had to go. You know, the funeral was pretty much over except for, you know, but still it wasn't over yet. So for him to leave was sort of, but I didn't really care. I'm at a funeral. Then Herb Wesson came down, the city council president, the black man, comes to me, whispering in my ear, he's going to get the food ready for the funeral. Lying. At the funeral, he comes to my ear and tells me that he's got to go make sure the food is ready. Nobody even hungry. Who's talking about food? We're still in the funeral. We haven't even had the funeral, not even over yet. Lying, because when we got to the cemetery, the LAPD called me. Nobody can wait. They're just so in a hurry to be on TV that we're at the cemetery, and they're calling me to say, can you get down to the, we're going to have a press conference. Can you make it?
Oh, my God.
At the funeral. You know what I mean? That's how they didn't care. They just wanted to, everybody wanted to be the one to say, we got him. So we couldn't make it, of course. When I got home, I was watching it on TV. And now here's the mayor and the Herb Wesson, the city council president. When he lied and told me he was coming over to my house to get food ready, you know, since when the city council president is getting food ready, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he got a staff for that. And that's how nonchalant it got. And then, of course, you know, everything changed because now they got a legal alien. How are we going to fix this? Well, let's make it a gang-on-gang thing. Let's just make it gang feud, and, you know, he just got caught in a gang feud. They knew that wasn't going to work because he was clean as a driven snow. I made sure of that.
But I made sure
because I know, man, you got to stay clean. Only thing going to make this, everything's not going to work if you're getting in trouble. You have to, it's mandatory. You got to come in clean. You can't do none of that stuff. You can have friends forever, but you can't blow this. I remember having that talk with him. Don't blow this, man. You can't blow this. This is set. All you got to do is stay alive. I'm not going to blow it. That's what he said. I'm not going to blow it, Dad.
I'll be good. And he did his part. We need to take a really quick break, and then we'll come back and catch the rest of this. I just can only imagine how many times this actually happens, but what a horrible look at the inside of it from a personal point of view. We really appreciate you guys sharing with us. This is Jamil Shaw on with us. We are going to talk about the legislation next, too. We really should pull the lid off of that and get that started. That is H.R. 1041 is the bill we're talking about. You can check out all of that online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate.
We're
going
to get irate anyway, if that's okay. Yeah, I tell you what, we do have terrorists right here. I cannot believe that a kid with a rap sheet like that. How long do you know, now that you know so much about him, do you know how long he's been in the country? Or he had been in the country?
Oh, yeah, he came in at 4 years old. He was brought over by a legal alien mother and daddy. Pretty much everybody in this case was a legal alien but me. Even my next door neighbors, I didn't even know they were legal aliens. I'm like, man, that's jacked up. How you guys just, you know, surround us like that with all these dangerous people, and then we find out after somebody dead, now we find out that, you know. But, yeah, he came in at 4 years old, and when he was 10 years old, that's when he started getting in trouble, from 10 years old, nonstop.
So, that explains why he was on, why he wasn't deported, because he actually, him and his family actually lived here as illegals, so they couldn't really deport
him. Yeah, he was
him.
A dreamer. He's one of Obama's dreamers.
Oh, he was a dreamer.
That's working out real
wonderful.
Well.
Wonderful, yeah.
And now he's doing his dreaming in San Quentin, isn't he?
San Quentin on death row, yeah, I can imagine. I think about it all the time, be like, man, I don't have to be there. I know he's miserable. He might act like he's so tough. Yeah, you ain't tough. You're on death row.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
like the ultimate, you know?
Yeah.
That was the ultimate prize. And this, what we went through, that's the best I could get without killing it myself.
Yeah.
The best I could do was, you know, for this particular prize, because I do everything like a sports analogy, that was a big prize in that case with death row, and we got it. So y'all can say what you want to, and you like illegal aliens, I don't care, but one of your people on death row, so we got him.
Jamil, you actually testified to an oversight committee, and was this part of the H.R. 1041, or did you testify about your story in front of the oversight committee?
Yeah, different committees over the years. I think that day, the last time I spoke, it was a oversight committee about. Illegal aliens, how they're committing crimes, and, you know, and there was sheriff deputies there, and, it was a lot of people. They even had La Raza, Maldef.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, and everybody was just, they just ignore that part, you know, even with the hearings, you know, I started realizing, I did so many hearings now to where it's like, man, this is like just a show to these people. It's like entertainment. They, you know, because I've been there, you know, I spoke, and, you know, they hear so much of that kind of stuff to where it's just a part of life. It's like when people say, why do blacks allow all the killing to go on in their neighborhood? Man, they used to it. It happens so much that they think it's a part of life. It's just, that's just how it go. It's like, you know, that's expected, so it's like no big deal to hear black people getting shot on this corner and that corner. They're like, what else is new? See, it's news when the police do it. That has value. That has a monetary value. Legal alien killed a black man. Nah, we can't roll on that. The people told me that. We can't do nothing for you. I've had black so-called leaders in the community come to my house one-on-one, sitting there talking about what you want to do, and I'm telling them, they're like, we can't do that. I'm like, why you can't help us with this or that? This, you know, the Latinos, we can't roll with that. Nobody's going to roll with that. Everybody wants to vote. You know, everybody hooked to this 501(c) to the point where they can't speak out. They got everybody looking for a grant. And no one, you know, why else do you think all these black people dead? You know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the black people are desensitized because of murder. That's why it's happening at a rate. And you would think, man, any other race would be like, wait a minute, we got to fix this. Not in the black community.
Yeah,
and
we're getting...
You go to church.
Yeah, we're getting wiped out, and our own guys are not doing anything. Because, yeah, we, you know, it's always a big mystery to us. We see, you know, Al Sharpton and the rest of these yahoos, and it's like, what is the deal? You know, doesn't anybody know these guys are just full of it?
Yeah, black people know, but white people... See, the problem is white people sort of pick black leaders, and they don't ask the people... If they came to the community, nobody likes Al Sharpton, but people like him. The majority of the people are black people, and nothing to do with Al Sharpton. That's why he don't come to nobody. People
that's good to know.
Why he don't do that? Nobody like him, and he knows it. He's there for the money. He gets his money. He do what he do, but no one can stop it because people think he's your leader. No, he's not. Jesse Jackson, none of them. We have no leaders in the black community. People, the churches were supposed to be, but the churches help the fraud and all the death. They make you think death is good, you know. I tell people all the time, death is not good. Well, he's in a better place. How a better place being dead? You know, he's in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, how do you get to heaven? How do you get to heaven? He had to be dead first. Deal with the death part. They don't want to. They want him, they're scared. So they make it seem like, oh, it's got all streets of gold and no sickness, and everybody think, oh, I want to go there. No, you don't.
Well,
they think they do.
You certainly don't want to send your kids there before you. I mean, that was obviously not the program. Oh, no.
With my name. I hear my name for the last almost 8 years. I hear my name as being dead. So I always feel like I'm on borrowed time. Like, I could be gone any second because I'm out of kilter. My dad is dead. Technically, he died natural causes. So technically, that was in order, so to speak, you know. I have another son that's 16. Technically, his brother went in order because, you know, I mean, you're supposed to be some kind of order. Supposed to be, right?
Sure,
but
sure.
With me, I'm off kilter because, you know, I went before my son. So now I'm the one in limbo when it comes to, if you want to go, you know, statistically speaking. So I always feel like I got work to do. I got to hurry up. I got things to do because I'm off kilter. I'm supposed to be gone already, according to, you know, the rules. So
the order of things.
The order of things. Well, and then
I'm the only one out of my whole family. I'm off kilter. I feel like I'm like, man. So I'm always thinking, I go outside. Somebody's gonna kill me. I just feel like a Mexican is gonna kill me because they hate me. There are people on the internet threatening my life. When the first time it happened, it was a big deal. After a while, they didn't care no more. First time the FBI came over and trying to find out what happened, found out it's some 18th Street guy working, legal alien, in the gang database, working as a security guard, an armed security guard, with a gun and a gun permit. And he's illegal in the country and in the gang database. He's on the internet with the 9mm Glock threatening my life. I'm like, what did I do? Technically, what did I do? I'm mad because my son is dead and you want to kill me. That is so crazy. That's how it is now.
That is,
he's mad because
extra crazy.
I'm not cool with that.
That is, and what we have on the, well, I was going to say what you have on the website too, that it was in bold on your website, so I left it in bold on ours too, that Jamil was always really concerned about his mother, Army Sergeant Anita Shaw, returning home from a war zone. Well, you know, again, everything was backwards, this whole thing, everything's backwards. We need to take another quick break, and we're going to come back. Go to the website if you're listening to this, wethepeopleradio.us, if you've got a computer handy. And you can check out the bill. It's H.R. 1041, the Jamil Shaw II Memorial Act of 2015. We'll be right back.
Did you know my name? If I saw you in heaven,
clenched in fists of rage, no angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. Today the music died.
Welcome back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. And we are talking to Jamil Shaw, whose son was gunned down by an illegal alien, one of the dreamers. So for all the people who are carrying that romantic notion that people come here at age 4 with their illegal alien parents and grow up to live the American dream, not all the time. Sometimes they just grow up to kill other people's children who are the American dream. Good athlete, nice kid, good grades, being scouted by Rutgers and some other schools. Just, you know, senseless is kind of overused, but it's the best word I have at the moment. There is a bill pending. It is H.R. 1041. It's in the 114th Congress, happening right now, called the Jamil Shaw II Memorial Act of 2015. Just the short summary here so you know what it does. Because obviously, you know, we can't write bills to make people stop doing stupid things or mean or bad things, but it'd be nice if we could. Prohibits the payment of funds to a state or its political subdivisions under any program or activity administered by the Department of Homeland Security unless such state, one, compiles statistics on each person arrested, charged, convicted of a crime, or incarcerated by such state, including the immigration status and country of origin of such persons, and the crimes for which such persons were arrested, charged, convicted, or incarcerated. Well, that's one thing they don't want to do. Second piece, it reports such statistics monthly to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And number three, it certifies on a monthly basis compliance with the requirements of this act. It requires each federal agency to compile similar statistics and report on them to the FBI. It also requires the FBI to annually publish all the stats reported under this act as a separate data collection of its Uniform Crime Report. What a novel idea. Huh. We ought to keep track of... Yeah, we ought to keep track of who's committing these crimes. What a good idea. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, I mean, that they all talk about it. They all want it. But when it's time for the nitty-gritty, it's like, You know, it's like, come on, man, you guys... You know, you guys are not right. That's why I always ask people, whenever I talk to people, I always ask them, what would you do if it happened to you? Because people seem to think that what I'm doing is so bizarre or so different.
Really?
Because in real life, it really is. Most people that are in a grieving state, it's not designed for action. It's designed to just sit in a dark room and just think yourself into oblivion. I know. Believe me, I know. If I just stayed on the route that most people go when they're going through this, then I'd be like the rest of them, drinking drugs, just mentally screwed up, because your mind is just, oh my goodness, it is like your worst enemy. I mean, you can't control it, but you try to, it's impossible. But it just shows you stuff you don't want to see all the time, to where it just drains you. So I understand people when they just sit in the house grieving. But I tell people, either way it go, you're going to grieve. You got to get something out of it besides a funeral. You got to get back. If it's payback or, you know, because it's the only thing when it comes to grief is hooked to it is revenge. And people try to make it seem like that's not what they want. That's, you know, but that's the only thing your body is asking for. Now, revenge don't have to be killing nobody. It's just some kind of redemption, something. You got to do something to have, to feed your soul, because you feel so empty and you feel like nobody's doing nothing. People come to me all the time and say, man, the only time I hear my son's name mentioned is out of your mouth. It wasn't for you. It's like he was never even born.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
Because people never never hear it, because everybody's scared to talk about it. And if you're trying to do something positive with it, you won't get no help, because they don't want that. They don't want people to say, hey, you mean I could fight back? That's why they try to keep me quiet, because people are realize, hey, I want to do what he's doing. I'm mad because my son is dead. My mama dead. My father, my baby, my uncle, my grandmother. People start doing something. They don't want that. They want you, no, just sit in the house, give them some medication and you know, show them some pictures of dead bodies. And because that's how they did me. They would always show me, because, you know, every time they saw me on TV, I was crying. I can't help it. They just liked that part, because both sides liked it. You know, because it was sad. I mean, how's she gonna, you know, and to see this man like that. So both sides can't say nothing, but man, I'm sorry.
Oh wow.
You know, I can't, you know. But 1041, same way. I said, Senator, what would you do? House Rep, what would you do? If somebody killed your son, what would you do? Oh, they don't want to picture that, man, it'd make you lose your breath. This one guy just said, man, I don't want to know no more. I was telling him about what's going on. I don't want to know no more. I'm so scared. I'm about to pass out. I said, well, you got to do something, man. He's like, do what? It's too many of them. You got to start with one. That's what I did. I got one on death row. You think I'm finished? I tell people all the time, my whole mission is to make legal aliens' lives as miserable as I can until I die. And I hope my son, my other son, keeps it going. But he was educated in liberal schools, so his mind, I got to stay on this case so much because they're making him think that, you know, that it's crazy in the schools, you know. But 1041 will basically help people report what's going on. I didn't know legal aliens were carrying guns. I thought it was a law against that. I was shocked when I found out. You mean you liberals passing all these laws or law-abiding citizens carrying guns? You mean to tell me you haven't passed a law that would stop illegal aliens or illegal alien gang members from owning a gun, period? If you were really serious about it, that's the first thing you would have went for, because that would have been the easiest one to pass.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to pass a law that says if you're illegal in the country, you can't own a gun. Everybody, that bill would have been passed so fast. They don't want that. That's why they were mad at me. They wanted me, I should be doing work with this group called Women Against Gun Violence, until they realized I wasn't against the gun. They were like, well, how can you, your son was murdered by the gun. I said, yeah, but why you don't help get laws passed against illegal aliens carrying guns? So, of course, I don't speak with them anymore because they were liberal and they thought I was going to be, oh, the gun is the problem. Look at him to my son. Yeah, it was bad. But how are you going to have a legal alien on his third gun charge, then put schools on lockdown, then stab people? According to the DA, he's probably killed 4 people, but they can't prove it because he was so crazy, nobody won't help. The only reason why they helped in this case is because they didn't want to go to prison. The girl driving the car didn't even know him. That's just how bad it is.
Oh, really?
It was the girl was driving the car. The girl driving the car just met him that day. She was writing letters to him while he was in jail. He gets out, calls her, hey, come get me. But she don't know. They on a mission, according to the sheriff. And everybody knows Latino gang members in L.A. County are run by Mexican Mafia. All the gangs are. When you're in the county jail, they have a directive. Once you get out, you got to commit a crime against black people, because they believe that when you're in jail, they want you to change. They want to rehabilitate you. So they put a lot of pressure on you when you get out. Do right, do good things, go to church, do whatever you got to do to stay out of the gangs, right? So the Mexican Mafia took care of that by saying, mandatory, when you get out, you got to go commit a crime, killing some blacks, the same day you get out. That's why he did the same day. He even had a guy that was acting as a secretary in the back seat that was there just to make sure he did it. According to the girl, after he did it, he couldn't even believe he did it. He ran into the car, quote, this is what he said, according to the transcripts, damn, nigga, you a killer. And then he said, yeah, I'm a killer. Killer like Kid. Found out Kid was this guy that the police killed in a shootout. He had killed like 4 people that day. Police killed him in a shootout. They want to be like him. According to the girl, she said when they drove by the body, he was hanging out the window, his whole body out the window, up to his knees, throwing gang signs on the dead body. You know? Now, instead of them, the guy in the back seat, okay, well, he did it. They take him home. That's why they never found the gun. She's trying to leave. He jumps in the car. No, you're going with me. Took her to some isolated park. And the only reason why he didn't kill her was because the police came into the park. The park should be closed. They in the park. Police so scared, he looking through binoculars, see the 18th Street on his body. He had his shirt off. He didn't even go home. He just killed somebody half an hour ago. He in the park hanging out like no big deal. That's what they do. They don't care. The police come into the park. They don't even search the car. Now, he got gang tattoos, 18th Street, all over his body. Obvious, he's hardcore gangbanger. The police don't even search the car. Now, come on, you the police. You see a guy like that in the car, in a park that's closed, that's special attention. You got to check that out.
Yeah.
They don't even know if the gun was in the car or not. Only reason why they found out was one of the cops that was there just to close the gate wrote down a license plate number. The police didn't even do that. They would have got away with it, but the guy that came to close the gate every night saw the car, looked in his binoculars. Woo, gangbangers. He wasn't even going over there, but he wrote down license plate number. Police went over there, everybody out the car, searched everybody, nothing. Didn't even search, didn't even run his ID because he didn't have none. Where your ID? I don't have none. Come on, you go to jail for that. In the black community, police pull you over and you in a car, no ID, you go to jail to see who you are. That they put pressure on you to keep your ID in your pocket, or you're going to be in there 4, 5, 6 hours just to prove who you are. Why go through all that? Just show them your ID.
But you can be an illegal alien gangbanger and nobody cares?
Nobody cared. Plus, he had just got out of jail that night. So why wouldn't the police want to know about people like that? They had him right there in the car, didn't even run his name or nothing. You know, they didn't know nothing about him. Let him go because the girl came back clean. It was her brother's car.
Oh.
And, you know, he even told her, well, that was good that happened. Now I got an alibi. That was his alibi. I wasn't there. The police pulled me over. I was in Culver City in the park at that time. But the girl was like, I'm not going to prison for no murder. It was so crazy. The girl hid out longer than him. They found him Wednesday. I told them what happened. Friday, they found him. They didn't find the girl for 10 more days. Three people in the car. In the black community, everybody in the car going to jail. That's just how it go. You know, three people in the car on a murder. Three people in the car, everybody going to jail. And you might not do as much time as him, but you're going to do some time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, somebody dead. Y'all in the car. You guys are all there. Everybody getting time, a little less than others, but you're going to go to jail.
Yeah, but Jamil, we can't all just be haters. They're dreamers, you know. They're just dreamers.
Yeah, they did to him. It was proven that he did because he was black.
It just makes you want to go crazy with this. We need to take one last quick break, and then we'll finish up the top of the hour with you. And you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. I hope you go on and look up Jamil's Law. It's H.R. 1041. I hope you call your member of Congress and suggest to them that they sign on to that. We'll be right back.
So, but taking them all for granted, you may lose them one day. Someone takes them away, and they don't hear the words you long to say.
Thanks, Bob.
Just to touch.
That was a perfect song.
Once again.
Welcome back to We the People. We have a serious topic today. We've been trying to, you know, get through it without being too super serious, but it's a hard one to miss. Jamil, we've got probably 3 or 4 minutes left. You know, what do you want people to know? I mean, or maybe what do you want them to do?
I just tell people to get in where they fit in, you know.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, because if you don't, then you won't keep it up, you know. People got to do something that they know they can do all the time, because this is 24/7. This is not like I'll do it for today. A lot of people, you know, over the years, I can see how when my son first died up until now, a lot of people just worn out. They just don't have the energy for doing this all the time, you know. So to avoid doing it all the time like I have to, you have to keep your loved ones alive. So that might require some preventive maintenance, you know. You can't, you know, look at me, you know. How many does it take before, you know, it's too many? One. You know, yeah. Ask that parent, how many is enough? One. And people think, well, it's not going to happen to me because my son is, hey, my son never went to jail, never been suspended from school, never, you know, just never been in trouble, ever. You know, three-time MVP, player of the year, all city. All that means nothing if you're in the casket, you know. And I'm not the only one, you know. I hate to say it, is, you know, it could be somebody out there listening right now. You might not think so, but you have to live your life like you can die. People live like they're in Disneyland, and they avoid the truth because they're scared of death. Well, when you're scared of something, you want to prevent it. And preventing death might mean, you know, I might have to stop legal aliens or stop gangbangers or do something that, you know, at least you feel like you're doing something. There's people in the organization that I'm in, different organizations, and there's people in there that have never had loved ones dead. And their main reason is that they don't want to. So they're thinking, if I do something and if I learn what's going on and try to help, maybe I can prevent it. Because it is preventable. I mean, illegal aliens killing kids, that's preventable. You know, but you don't have to wait. Some people need a taste. I tell people all the time, some people need a taste of it. I hate to say it. Some people, just telling them what happened, it's not going to do it. They got to get a taste, which is sad.
That's terrible.
Even Bill, yeah. Even though Bill Cosby is doing some bad things now, he called me when my son was killed because his son was murdered by a illegal alien from the Ukraine.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
asked him, why you didn't do something? I asked him, why you didn't do something? You know? And he didn't want to talk about it. Because he brought it up that, yeah, both our sons are, you know, both lost our sons. And I said, well, how come you didn't do something? And he kept on talking about something else. And he promised, I'm going to come to town. And, of course, he didn't do a damn thing. Stevie Wonder, we're going to do all this stuff. Didn't do nothing. They all talk. Black politicians, the leaders, they're not leaders. They're just money people with money. They're no better than none of us. They just get paid more on payday. That's the only difference. On payday, Stephen Wonder was like, yeah, baby. You know, on payday. See, on us, we're like, man, this ain't enough. But we put them on the pedestal because we're never there. I done went through from the little city council up to Washington, D.C., and I realized they're no different than we are. Matter of fact, we have more power. If you look at them like they're a video game, you go level one. When you go level two, I don't know nobody go back to level one to see what's going on. They keep on moving. Level one is gone. That's how it is with me. I'd have been to all those politicians to the point where I'm past you now. You know, you're insignificant. You're not going to do nothing. I'm trying to get things done in Washington, D.C. now. Around the city, we have a law called Jamil's Law for the city that said that if you're a legal alien in a gang, you got to get deported. You cannot come to this country and join a gang. They won't even support that. They won't support 287G, secure communities. They stopped just recently, L.A. County stopped secure communities. I mean, 287G, and now they have what they call the PEP program, Priority Enforcement Program, that they want the violent ones. Well, hell, you have Pedro Espinoza on his third gun charge, pulling guns on citizens in the city, stabbing people, shooting in the houses. He was, you should just see his rap sheet.
I bet it's a mile and a half long.
Oh, my God. The man was so violent at 10 years old that the apartment manager was passing around a petition to get it signed to get his family put out the building.
Wow.
10 years old. That's how bad he was at 10.
You know what? For starters, and we never said it, but we are just so sorry you had to learn any of this and your family was affected by any of it. You know, this program will be online for a long time, and I hope that people listening will take the time to just forward the link. Forward the link. If they don't want to listen to the show, they could read the webpage. You know, you've got a lot of choices on how you could do this, but making people aware, because I don't consider myself somebody with their head in the sand, but I didn't really know the details on this. There's so much information coming at all of us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, Jamil, we don't live in L.A., but without folks like you that just draw the line and actually do something about this, it is much appreciated because it affects everybody. And I want to thank you for coming on and telling your story.
It can't be easy. God, it can't be easy.
No.
And thanks,
it's, it's easier because I just see it as maybe I can, you know, I mean, it's hard to hear the story and be and say, oh, that didn't happen, or you're lying. It's always like, damn. Woo.
Well, your story's going to get heard. Your story's going to get heard coast to coast, and we're going to put it out there. And thank you again.
And if we can ever help
you,
reach back out to us, too. If you have new developments, we want to hear them.
Okay, you're doing good. Keep up the good work, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We wish your family the very best.
Okay. All right, bye.
Bye. You've been listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and get these issues out in front of folks that are just glued to the mainstream media. There's a lot beyond that. See you next week. America.